This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I am Vanessa Imani.
And everyone who's tuning in is like, who's Vanessa? You're not the only one asking the question. I have no idea either. We are recording this on Thursday. Typically, we record on Fridays, but tomorrow being Good Friday, we record this on April 17th, the Thursday. And I completely forgot to tell all the other co-hosts that I had moved the recording date because of the holiday. And sure enough, everybody else is busy. They've got showings. Melissa mentioned she had an inspection. So I'm at the office and Vanessa has been the corporate project coordinator with William Wright Commercial for 8 years.
Yeah, about
it. 8 years, just over eight years. So as I'm frantically running to the studio, I grab her, tell her she's coming. She has no idea where she's going and she got stuck on a podcast. So thank you so much for filling in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And on the program today, on today's program, we have Anthony Salentic joining us from PC Urban, which for those who may not know who PC Urban is, I would definitely say they're one of the premier market leaders kind of in industrial development is primarily what they're known for. They definitely do have some purpose-built rental products that we do talk about. We talk about the regions that they're building in, all of that stuff. So a great episode there with Anthony, who is the manager of acquisitions and asset manager for the company, and PC Urban's been around for about 15 years, so we dive right into that. So without further ado, let's get to our interview today with Anthony from PC Urban. Enjoy, guys. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with two fitness areas, three children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
On today's program, we have Anthony Salentic, Manager of Acquisitions and Asset Management at PC Urban. Anthony, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you?
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I know how busy you guys are there. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about yourself and PC Urban and how you got into that role before we dig into everything?
Yeah, absolutely. So local, born and raised in Burnaby, and I graduated from SFU's BD program in 2017 and been working in commercial real estate ever since. My first stint in development was with PCI, and I've now been at PC Urban for just over 3 years.
That's great. We're always curious to find out how people end up in their current role, how they got into commercial real estate, maybe why they got into commercial real estate. So making the transition from PCI to PC Urban, for those who don't know the history of PC Urban, can you maybe tell us a little bit more of PC Urban, what type of development you guys do, what type of development you guys looking to do in the future?
Absolutely. So PC Urban was started by Brent Sauchin. We've been around for about 15 years now in a few different forms. I would say for the past 8 to 10 years, we've been very focused on real estate development in Greater Victoria, the capital region, Metro Vancouver, and some work in Kelowna. Historically, we've done some work in Alberta as well. In terms of asset classes, typically we spend most of our time on the industrial asset class and in the purpose-built rental multifamily side of things. We've done some really well received office projects as well in the past, which are a little bit opportunistic. You know, we're still open to look at those opportunities, but they don't constitute the brunt of our work right now for obvious reasons, I think, in the market. And, you know, going forward, we're continuing to be really optimistic and bullish on the industrial market and the multifamily purpose-built rental market, particularly in the capital region and in Metro Vancouver. So we are currently about probably 20 projects on the go and delivering 800 purpose-built rental units across those three geographies this year.
Wow.
And looking to do more.
I'd be really interested to get your thoughts on the industrial side of things. So for those listeners who may not know, like PC Urban would definitely be, I would categorize them kind of as an industry leader along with some other great industrial builders. You guys have done some phenomenal projects over the years and are continuing to do that. Being a developer on the forefront right now, dealing with everything that's out there, we've had higher interest rates, construction cost increases, all of that stuff. I'd be interested to get your take on what you've seen on the developer end, maybe for the past, you know, year or so, 2 years or so, and what you guys are kind of like, where are the trends going?
Yeah, absolutely. As a bit of context, most of our industrial work is done on the strata or the condo side, depending on where you're from, what you call it. But the majority of our industrial strata projects are around our brand intra-urban. We've found a lot of success with that brand, delivering sort of tier one design and functionality industrial space in what we like to call great locations. So part of the driving theme there is providing retail-esque type industrial uses in really great locations. And by great locations, we're talking about accessibility and frontage, access to major markets, as well as, you know, connectivity throughout the region and beyond. When it comes to the broader market, I think candidly, everyone can admit on the industrial side that things have slowed down a little bit on the development and construction side. And some of that, I think, is just result of the run-up over the past sort of decade. I mean, for years now, industrial has been one of the favorite asset classes for investors, not just in Vancouver, but actually across Canada. And I think really we're just seeing a little bit of a softening in that. I wouldn't say it's actually been hugely detrimental in terms of market statistics and figures. I mean, I think at worst, our vacancy was sort of in the low to mid 3% range, which is still, you know, among one of the tightest markets in all of North America. So as a function of the geography in Metro Vancouver and in the Victoria Capital Region, I just think the industrial asset class is always going to be quite strong here. You know, as long as the port remains open and we retain our status as one of the busiest ports, not just in Canada, but in North America, and the only port on the Western seaboard, I think the industrial asset class is going to have legs for a long time going forward. With respect to kind of the last year, I think you're totally right. You know, interest rates have been choppy, but maybe more broadly, I think there's a bit of uncertainty when it comes to really just the Canadian economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, without getting too political, we can obviously see that Donald Trump has had his thoughts and his actions have affected every country's economy.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're just on the forefront of a federal election here in Canada. And I just think there's a bit of hesitation from every stakeholder in the industrial asset class as to what the future looks like in the short term. I think in the long term, though, most people are still pretty confident it's a great place to be.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think also adding some further context to kind of, you talked about what type of project you guys build, and comment, I'll comment on one project that I drive by every day is your Eagle Ridge project you have there, which is just an incredible location along Barnett Highway there in Coquitlam. That product will never be able to be replicated again with everything that's happening in that city center area there. Have you guys seen a pivot potentially in who the buyers are? You mentioned in investors, you mentioned end users. When I say pivot, people might think the industrial end user is the local guy that owns a small plumbing shop that buys it, or like a local business. Have you seen a shift potentially in maybe who those potential buyers are in the industries that they're in, considering the pricing has gone up dramatically over the past few years, everything considered?
I think there's definitely been a shift, but I think there's actually been two shifts. Historically, before rates dropped really low as a function of COVID, the majority of the individuals who were buying these industrial strata units were end users. These were business owners, small, medium, or large businesses looking to expand their real estate footprint, whether it gave them access to a different market, it gave them an easier time on the logistics front, or it was just a better location for their employees. With the advent of super cheap dollars that you could lend during COVID, we saw the introduction and really the expansion of the investor class who saw this as a great real estate investment. I think the same way that Metro Vancouver and the Victoria Capital Region locals are really strong believers in their local real estate, we see that on the residential side. I think this introduced a commercial aspect to that theme. And so there was a lot of interest from the investor crowd. Yeah. I think now that, as you mentioned before, interest rates have popped up and now have stabilized a little bit, we're actually kind of back to where we started, which is the majority, the individuals who are looking to buy that kind of real estate are end users.
Now, you did mention there kind of like regions that you guys are building. And obviously, you kind of build in you know, the Lower Mainland. Obviously, you talked about the capital region there in Victoria. You talked about Kelowna. How have you guys seen, has any one of those three regions been busier over the past year? Obviously, and I'll throw this into context there just from the brokerage perspective. I mean, it's been a challenging past year and a half out there. Interest rates have been extremely high. Now we're heading into a lot of uncertainty here right now with tariff talks and all this stuff. What region have you guys seen probably the most amount of interest in over that time period, considering the whole market's sort of been a little bit slower than anticipated?
With respect to the three regions we work in, I would say over the past year and a half, all of them have been significantly slower than, you know, we would like to see.
Yeah.
But actually in the past 6 months, basically since the start of the year, we've actually seen an uptick in all of them. I'm not saying that product is flying off the shelves, but we're actually regularly sort of knocking offers back and forth. And that's been really encouraging to see that, to your point about which location are we kind of the most optimistic about?
Yeah.
Well, we're actually having good conversations in all three.
Good.
Now, another thing that we keep in mind important is, you know, we take that feedback and think about where we would like to be next. We think just we have some of that same uncertainty that end users of businesses might have. So I think we would prefer to do future projects in Metro Vancouver and Victoria for now, just because there's a lot more small to medium-sized businesses that we think are still looking to increase their footprint. In Kelowna, we think it's much more location-dependent. We would love to do another project in Kelowna, but I think it would really need to be the right size and the right location before we were ready to commit to another one. So in terms of locations going forward, I still think that Metro Vancouver is probably the belle of the ball. But once you really dive into it, you kind of need to get past those larger names, because there's a big difference between providing industrial strata, small to medium-sized bay in South Vancouver versus Abbotsford versus Colwood versus, you know, insert a fourth location here. So I think beyond those three larger regions, you'd have to get much more specific to talk about sort of where we see the value and the future.
Anthony, you mentioned purpose-built rental. Can you talk more about your outlook on the residential rental market?
Absolutely. Our purpose-built rental platform is called Urban Flats, and we've completed a number of projects and have a number of projects on the go and a number of projects in the pipeline. So we feel really optimistic and really confident about providing purpose-built rental. Like I may have mentioned at the start of the call, you know, we're under construction on about 800 units right now that we'll deliver this year. And another 140 units will deliver sometime next summer or fall. And when it comes to going forward, I mean, if there's one thing that we hear consistently, not particularly from groups that are involved in real estate, but are not headquartered in Vancouver, is everybody would love to get access to more industrial and purpose-built rental in Vancouver. And I think it's also important, you know, PC Urban prides itself on having a sort of a unique take on the market. And one thing that we recognize, quite frankly, is that the condo market is having some trouble right now for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, we could talk about that at a more macro or micro level, but I think what it really means for PC Urban is that we have an opportunity here to acquire land and kind of not have to compete with that condo land developer. What that means is, you know, we actually feel really optimistic and really good about where land values are at for the purposes of purpose-built rental. And we think there's an appetite and a bit of a runway there to add sites, bring units to market. And that's, again, across all three of those locations.
Is there one market on the purpose-built rental side? I know we talked about the industrial. Is there one market or markets on the purpose-built rental side you guys are like actively trying to pursue, or markets you're really excited about?
Yes and no. I think, again, broadly speaking, Metro Vancouver and the capital region would be our preference. But I think you need to get a little bit more specific in terms of how are you going to drive rents? If you and I both own a rental building, there is a question of why would someone live in your building versus mine?
Yeah.
And what we like to do, which is no surprise, I mean, real estate is all about location, but it's really about finding what's going to drive value in that location. So some groups have found a lot of success developing purpose-built rental by SkyTrain, by transit. We think that's a great strategy. Another great strategy that we really believe in is by major employment centers, whether it's a local city hall or a local large institution of some sort, you know, in for education, a hospital, what have you. Some of these large centers of employment where you can say like here's a clear benefit to this community and to these people to be able to live very close to work. And you know that like this is a core part of this community's employment center. So again, you know, we really like a lot of markets in Metro Vancouver. We're really bullish on Victoria and the capital region. Again, back to Kelowna, we would do some particular locations, again, depending on sort of size and price and is it the right fit. But at the end of the day, we like to go kind of to the next step and look a little bit more detailed and question what's going to drive rents here.
You mentioned the Kelowna as being very location specific, but when you talk about Victoria and the capital region, you maybe didn't mention location as important. Is there a reason why you're finding Kelowna is more location specific maybe than the capital region?
In Kelowna, there's been the introduction of a lot of density downtown. And Kelowna, which a lot of people, I would say the key way that I look at Kelowna is that there's a highway that runs through West Kelowna and Kelowna, and most of the development happens along that corridor.
Yeah.
As you start getting into Rutland, Reed's Corner, South Pendozi, or various parts of West Kelowna, I think you need to be really specific with what you think is a good site. And again, on the residential side, what you think is going to drive rents. Conversely, on the industrial strata side, what kind of small and medium businesses are in this community that you think are looking to expand their footprint or go out and buy some real estate? I think in the capital region, the focus downtown is most of the density downtown is actually already built. There's a lot of assets in the downtown core in Victoria. And so when we talk about the urban sprawl, it goes in a lot more directions. And that's because there isn't kind of a major highway sort of running through those communities. Obviously, there are highways, but you can still find assets away from those key transportation corridors that are just have great quality of life or are close to, you know, major employment centers. I also think there's just a different sort of flavor to investing on the island for a number of reasons. And I think a lot of capital partners that we work with also have a bit of a different perspective on Victoria. And quite frankly, some of that is just because of that sort of public sector angle.
Yeah.
It's seen as extremely safe because of that, and also because of the geography. You know, you are on an island. You are limited to some degree by the geography. Kelowna doesn't necessarily have all of those geographic features. And it, unfortunately for Kelowna, I mean, I really like Kelowna as a as an individual and as an investment. I think it still has some of that shine from individuals from Calgary who maybe have, who want to go to the lake, right?
Yeah, yeah, good point.
Over time, I think that narrative is and will continue to change. But I think, you know, some of it is still there. So, you know, that's kind of how I would differentiate those two markets.
Do you see PC Urban working its way up island into like the Central Island area? Is that a market that's sort of on the radar now for you guys?
It definitely has come across our radar. I for sure see a lot of sites that might fit our bailiwick. I think, well, the conclusion that we've come to is that there's still more work to do in sort of Victoria, Saanich proper, Esquimalt, and, you know, a little bit closer to the core. We just find that it makes a little bit more sense when we think about what drives value, what is a great location. Real estate isn't always just about buying land as cheap as possible, because sometimes, you know, buying land is the easy part. You then actually have to develop and construct and build and bring something to market that users want, that the community wants, that a potential investor wants. And so, you know, just because I can find land much more at a much more attractive price further up the island, I still would probably favor being closer to the core on the island, just for a bit of that predictability, solidness,
yeah,
and knowing that this makes sense for us.
Now, you talked about Greater Vancouver. What are your thoughts on the Fraser Valley region? Is that something, again, that's on your radar, whether it be for industrial or purpose-built rental?
For industrial, definitely. I mean, there's no secret that industrial land is hard to come by.
Yeah.
And with the growth in population across all Metro Vancouver municipalities, you know, we're seeing more and more that as OCP updates come through, you know, we're losing parts of industrial land that are not currently registered under the Metrovan RGS. So industrial, absolutely, very interested kind of across the board. Residential, we're a lot more selective. And some of that comes on the tail end of the TOA changes and the new SkyTrain.
Yeah.
From our perspective, those changes are great because they bring a lot of density. But sort of straightforward economics would say if you add a bunch of supply, you know, the challenge of differentiating between different markets and different sites, it's actually a lot trickier. And so, again, I would go back to, you know, what is going to drive the value of this building? What kind of community wants a purpose-built rental building? Where is it going to be great for the community, city hall, and the renters to do, let's say, bring 500 units of purpose-built rental to Abbotsford? You know, it's simple. You're going to have a tougher time with absorption than if you were just, you know, right beside Brentwood, or if you were on Lonsdale, never mind downtown. So, you know, scale becomes an issue when you look at different municipalities. And most of the demographic information keeps pointing to the Fraser Valley and the growth out there. We regularly look at purpose-built rental sites, and we've gotten close on a few, but for one reason or another, we didn't proceed. I still think that we'll eventually be doing purpose-built rental south of the Fraser as well. Exactly where? Well, I can't share everything, can I?
Yeah, absolutely. I know you want to keep that stuff in your head. I'd be really curious. A question that I have, and I'm curious, and I'll, for those listeners that may not be as familiar with your product, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just looking from like the outside the bubble looking in. A lot of the projects you have, you kind of have some of these sub 3,000 square foot grade level loading, front loading strata lots. That to me always felt like the prime model, whether it be for an investor looking to get into industrial or even a small business owner occupier, with kind of how industrial feel like it's changed a little bit. Do you guys ever see yourself going away from that kind of build structure where maybe you're going slightly smaller units now or even larger units? Or do you kind of continue down the path with what's worked for years, it feels like?
I think it's a bit of both. I would say if you look at our history, we had a great project on Mitchell Island that had slightly larger units that had dock loading. And I would say most of the industrial land sites that come up for either for sale or through the grapevine or just sites that we would love to redevelop, we typically look at a number of different built forms. I think when it comes to the success of our intra-urban program, most of that is based off of our preference for getting some of those retail-esque locations and what that means for the type of end user that wants to be in that market. You know, if you're right behind a Walmart, you might want to have, you probably don't want to have like a pure heavy industrial use in there. If you're on Mitchell Island, it might make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I think there's a broader point there too about sort of the advent and the growth of the small bay industrial strata market. I'd like to think that, you know, we're one of the best groups in town that does it. Maybe I'm being, you know, overconfident, but I do truly believe that. When it comes to different asset classes and bringing them to market, there's always that question of absorption and supply and demand in the market. And particularly for industrial, you can look at key nodes, whether it's South Vancouver, Port Kells, Campbell Heights, Tilbury, Big Bend, and so on. You can get a flavor for what kind of businesses want to be there and could small bay survive as a project, right? So
yeah.
I don't think you could paint it with a broad stroke and say, small bay is what we do, we like it, and we will continue to do it. I think all those sentences are true, but there's another angle, which is that we're only doing small bay where we have a really strong conviction that it's going to be a great project.
Yeah.
And we also look at a number of other sites where we're pricing out big bombers, you know, loading courts of 125 to 150 feet, build to suits. You know, we have our thinking caps on for sort of any type of industrial deal, but some of those small bay strata locations are just so A-class in our opinion. You mentioned Eagle Ridge.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's a great example. You know, you just can't beat that location of real estate. So I think that's how sometimes we do end up building a lot of small bay strata, but that's not to say that we can't build or we don't pro forma the other potential built forms.
Are you seeing, and this is something we were seeing just from like a bird's eye view from the brokerage side, where it kind of feels like there may be a slight shift in some of the smaller units where maybe the rear loading unit, maybe let's call it 3,300 or 3,000 square feet that has rear loading, grade rear loading versus front or grade loading at the front. Are you guys seeing a shift in anything like that, maybe from a sales standpoint in some projects where maybe that there's been a shift where maybe those units are maybe moving faster than maybe first anticipated because of what's feels like it's a market shift over the past year?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, obviously broad strokes, the market is always shifting and we're always talking to brokers about what they're seeing out there from the end user side and, you know, what would businesses like to have? And then can PC Urban bring that to market for them to purchase? I think one thing, a growing trend that we'll see is the introduction of units that have dock and grade loading. If there's one type of feedback we hear quite often is that depending on the size of the company and their actual operations, what they need the space for, a lot of them do have a preference to also have dock loading as well. But I think the broader point there is, where are they located? What kind of business does this company engage in? You know, if there's a big difference between your local tile guy or a large 3PL group that's on, you know, Blundell Road in Richmond and does a lot of cross-border work, right? So I think you really need to be careful about painting with a too broad of a brush stroke. And it's important to get specific to bring value to those end users. Otherwise, you might just be stuck with, you know, units that maybe sit for longer than you would like. And do I see that trend continuing? You know, again, depends on the market. Maybe there are some markets where a lot of small bay has been brought to market and built. Now it's a question of getting through that product. I do think, though, that, you know, it's location specific, it's business specific. I think dock loading is still what a lot of medium-sized companies love to see.
Yeah. I guess as a final thought here before we get to our six-pack lighthearted questions, obviously, you've been in the industry for a while. We've kind of come through some turmoil. We came out of COVID. We had high interest rates. Now we're dealing with, you know, tariffs and tariff threats. What does the balance of 2025 look like? What are your thoughts on the overall marketplace?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, we hold you to everything you say on this podcast. So this is going to go in stone with your prediction.
Wonderful. Yeah. I think the big things on everyone's minds that are kind of really obvious are we have a federal election here that's coming up shortly. And just in general, some of the economic uncertainty that we're seeing from the political side down in the South with Trump and his administration, what they're doing, and not just his administration, but also all the responses to their actions.
Yeah.
When it comes to our local market and the rest of the year, I still think we're just going to see business slowly tick through. Like I said, we've been really comforted and gotten a lot more confidence from the extra deal flow that we've seen this year on the industrial strata side. I mean, things are better now than they were last year. We can say that definitively.
Yeah.
When it comes to the purpose-built rental, I think we're also in a bit of an interesting place where there's clearly a desire to bring housing to almost every municipality. And I'm seeing that at the federal level with conversations with CMHC. I'm seeing that at the municipal level with almost every municipality. They're much more understanding of the situation that we're in. And there's much more of a we're in this together approach. And also, quite frankly, from end users, I mean, my perspective, like rents in Vancouver are still quite high relative to median household income when you compare it with other North American cities. So I still think that we're going to be working towards building purpose-built rental sites. I still think we're going to be building industrial projects because this part of the world is going to continue to grow. People are going to continue to move here. And I think, unfortunately, what I've just described is kind of longer trends that are more than just towards the end of the year. So I hope that answers your question. I don't have a price target for the S&P 500.
No. We're always curious to get everyone's sort of thoughts. Everyone's got a different take on it. Everyone's seeing it from a different angle there. I think a lot of the points you made there were bang on. It's going to be an interesting 2025. Anthony, before we let you go, we have a six-pack of lighthearted questions. We ask all of our guests to get to know them a little bit more outside of their office there. Do you have just a few more minutes for us?
Absolutely.
Okay. Where would your favorite vacation spot be?
My favorite vacation spot is Croatia. My parents are Croatian. They moved to Vancouver in the late 80s. I've been there many times, speak the language, love the culture. I could go back every year without issue.
How's the food? Is the food good?
Food is as good as it gets.
Amazing. Great answer. So it's Friday night. You're at a bar. You've had a couple drinks. Someone gives you a karaoke mic. What song are you singing?
Oh, God. I mean, you could go with the crowd pleaser, Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, good one.
Or Bohemian Rhapsody. I think it might depend on how many beverages I've had and how many beverages my friends have had. That'll be the key swing vote. Maybe as a cult classic amongst my friend group would be Simple Man.
Good choice. Okay. Next question, Vanessa.
What is your favorite band? Or who is your favorite band?
I do have a bit of a soft spot for some of the 60s, 70s, 80s. So I love some of the original Rolling Stones and the Beatles albums.
Nice.
I would say for kind of easy listening on a Sunday afternoon, that's one of my top choices.
Yeah, that's good. I'll go with that. We've had the Rolling Stones a couple of times there. Good choice. So, Anthony, unfortunately, you found yourself on death row. You've done something horribly wrong. But before they pull the plug on your life there, you get one last meal. What meal are you having?
Good question. I would say maybe cabbage rolls that my mom makes.
Oh, yeah. Always got to go to mom's cooking. Good choice.
Okay. And what is your favorite TV show or movie?
I love watching movies. I love watching TV shows. I would say a recent one that entered into my kind of top five would be Succession on HBO.
Oh, great one.
Absolutely love it. I know it's been over now for maybe a year or two, but I think almost every season there is pretty great. But in terms of movies, I would say There Will Be Blood was always a favorite of mine. I recently rewatched it and I was shocked at how good it's held up over, 15, 20 years.
I'd be curious, as a Succession fan, have you watched Suits? And if you have, what are your thoughts on the new Suits LA if you had a chance to watch any of those episodes?
I haven't watched any of the new Suits LA. I did watch almost all of the original run through. I think the kind of Harvey Specter, Mike Ross bromance is obviously super entertaining.
Yep.
But there's also, the legal courtroom drama shows. At some point, I think you just run out of cases to solve. So
yeah.
There was a bit of repetition and sort of crisis telenovela aspect towards the latter seasons. Still entertaining, but I think the best part of Suits was that kind of first two or three seasons where you really didn't know if they were going to find out the truth about Mike Ross.
Yeah. Season three is my, I literally watched season three on Netflix over and over and over again. That's the best one. If you haven't seen Suits LA, as much as it pains me to say, you're not missing anything. It hasn't really hit the mark. And I think, again, I don't know how many people are watching it, but the last episode, which is probably what, five or six into the series, now maybe to try to draw some viewership, they've now brought Harvey Specter into the new series now, which might be kind of like, hey, we need to get the old cult fans coming back. But unfortunately, you haven't missed much if you haven't seen Suits LA. I guess as a final question, Anthony, do you have a book recommendation for our listeners? Doesn't necessarily have to be real estate related, but it can.
Two books that I read last year that I really liked, 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I read that once when I was younger and I reread it and it's just super powerful. And another one would be Cormac McCarthy's Blood Meridian. Okay. I read that for the first time and I was blown away by some of the imagery. That one's a little more intense in terms of what happens within the narrative, but in terms of the quality of writing, I thought both of those were exceptional.
Amazing. Well, Anthony, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us here. How can people find out more about what you're doing, what PC Urban's doing, all that good stuff you guys have going on over there?
Follow us. Social media, the same way everybody else gets in the know. I mean, we have our PC Urban website. We have a website for intra-urban. We have a website for urban flats. I encourage people to check out some of the work we do. And if they have any questions, feel free to drop us a line. We'll reach out.
Amazing. Anthony, thank you once again for your time today. We appreciate all your insight and thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Anthony. Take care. There you have it, folks. Our interview today with Anthony Salentic from PC Urban, manager of acquisitions and asset manager. I thought it was an unbelievable episode. I think PC Urban is, and I kind of mentioned on the program, they've got some premier projects in some premier locations. They definitely build a tremendous industrial product. I'm sure that's going to translate over into the residential side of the purpose-built rental they're doing. I mean, it's great insight. Obviously, the industrial market feels like it's changed a bit, slowed down a little bit, as a lot of things have. They're still actively in that market. They are seeing the sales pick up in some of these projects. And one we allude to on the program is the Eagle Ridge project there. Go call them along Barnett. I'm a big fan of it. I drive by it every day. I think it's an absolute beautiful product that they're building there. Great episode. Great episode.
Fabulous episode. Very informative. And I was happy to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vanessa, for joining us. For all those who want to talk commercial real estate, they can reach out to us at William Wright Commercial. They can send us an email, corey@williamwright.ca. Love hearing from the guests, show ideas. Let us know what you think about the show, good or bad. We're always happy to hear. You can give us a call at our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. Or you can go to our website, williamwright.ca, and sign up for the latest and greatest news. And we'll be back next week after the long weekend with another great episode. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Subscribe today.